إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم فشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد وجبت أن سؤال ما في الله سبحانه وتعالى May the blessing and peace be upon the noble Prophet Muhammad, his household and companions altogether. Inshallah, this is going to be a continuation of the explanation of the book Usul Sunnah, written by Al-Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal alayhi rahmatullah. The Sheikh says, ومن السنة اللازمة التي من ترك منها خصلة لم يقبلها ويؤمن بها لم يكن من أهلها. Part of the compulsory sunnah that whoever abandons an attribute or a feature of it, لَمْ يَقْبَلْهَا, that does not accept it, وَيُنِّمْ بِهَا, and believe in it, لَمْ يَكُمْ مِنْ أَهْلِهَا, such a person will not be counted among the people of Sunnah. After the Sheikh has mentioned some of the attributes of the people of Sunnah with respect to sticking to the text, following the path of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, not following desires, following the Sunnah, the Shaykh continues by saying part of the necessary Sunnah that one must not abandon a feature or a characteristic of each is the following. He mentioned al-iman bil-qadari khayri wa shari. To have belief in al-qadar, good or bad. Al-qadar, this is the predestination, the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has predestined. And this involves four stages. The first stage is al-ilm, that is ilmullah, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the knowledge of everything before they were created. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the knowledge of everything before the creation of the universe. And this knowledge was so certain that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had it written down in the preserved tablet, Allahu al-Mahfuz, the preserved tablet. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had it written, and this is called what? Al-Kitabah. Then the third one is called Al-Mashi'ah, that is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew and had written down will not come to pass except with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His permission. This is called what? Al-Mashi'ah, or they call it Al-Iradatu Al-Kawniyyah. Al-Iradatu Al-Kawniyyah Al-Qadariyyah. That is the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the fourth one is Al-Khalqu, the creation, which is the happening of the event. The happening of the event. As we are seated in this message, at this time, it has been written, it has been in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in eternity, and it was written down. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed it to us to happen, it happened. So this our sitting this evening has fulfilled the four stages of Al-Qadr. The four stages of Al-Qadr. Al-Ilm, Al-Kitabah, Al-Mashi'ah, or you call it Al-Iradatu, Al-Kawniyyatu, Al-Qadariyyatu. Then the fourth one is Al-Khalq. So this sitting are fulfilled the four stages. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had a knowledge about this teaching from eternity. And this was written down in the preserved tablet, Allah al-Mahfuz, that this teaching will come to pass. And when Allah willed it, it came to pass. And we can see it happening. So this is called what? Al-Khalq. This is called Al-Khalq. This the maratib Al-Qadr. Anything that will happen must go through these four stages. Must go through these four stages. Now why did the author say we must have an iman bil qadr khayri wa sharri, khayrihi wa sharri? And why did he consider this to be part and parcel of the qualities and the characteristics of Ahlul Sunnah? This is because we have some people who claim to be Muslims but do not believe in Al-Qadr. Do not believe in Al-Qadr. Why some people also go overboard in their belief about Al-Qadr? And that is why scholars tell us about Al-Qadariyyatu Al-Mufat. Al-Qadariyyatu Al-Mufat. Al-Qadariyyatu, this is an affliction to Qadr. Al-Nufat, that is the jamu of the word, the plural of the word, Nafin. Nafin, the plural is what? Nufat. So Al-Qadariyyatu, that is the Qadarites and Nufat that are Nufat, that is those who deny the existence of Qadr. They do not believe in what? In Al-Qadr. At the early stage of these people, when they first came out, some of them negated the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of events, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not add the knowledge of things, of happenings, until they happened. I gave an example of this teaching of ours. If you have a Qadari Nafi, the one who doesn't believe in what? In Qadar. He will tell us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not know anything from eternity about this teaching until it happened. So it is when it happened that he got to know of it, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also get to know of it. That Allah did not have any prior knowledge of anything until it happened. So these are the people who say what? La qadar, there is no qadar. Wal amru unuf. That is, there is nothing like having prior knowledge. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al amru unuf. That is, the matter is new, is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just knowing the way we are just knowing it. So, secondly, they will say what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not have it written down. Did not have it written down. There is nothing like that. So they will negate these two stages of qadar. No ilmu, no kitabah. No ilmu, no kitaba. So these are the qadariya and nufat. Then they will also later, some of them, they will acknowledge the knowledge of Allah and they will acknowledge the kitaba. But they will negate or deny al-mashi'ah. They will deny al-mashi'ah. Or al-iradatu al-kawniyatu al-qadariya. They will deny it. What does that mean? They will say Allah did not will it. Allah did not will it. Yes, he knew about it. He had it written down. But he did not will it. And he did not create it. He did not will it. He did not create it. Yes, he knew about it. He had it written down. But it was not the one that created it. It was not the one that willed it. So these, all of them, they are called what? Al-Qadariya and Nufat. Al-Qadariya and Nufat. Those who partially negate Qadar, or those who negate Qadar completely. But those ones have gone into extinction, those who negate completely. But those who negate the Mashi'ah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they negate the Mashi'ah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they negate the Khalq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah did not create the happenings, did not create things, so did not create happenings, so did not create the actions of human beings. So they said it is human beings that created their actions by themselves. It is human beings that created their actions by themselves. So these are the Qadariya and Nufat. So, and they said Allah did not will it. This set of people, the scholars will refer to them as Majus al-Ummah, the Magians of this Ummah. Why? Because the Magians, they believe that there are two gods. There is God of light. The Magians believe there are two gods, the God of light, which is the God of good, and the God of darkness, which means the God of evil. So they believe anything good, it is the God of light that created it. Anything evil, it is. So the Magians believe that anything good, it is the God of light that created it, and anything evil, it is the God of darkness that created it. So they believe that good deeds, you see people doing things or things that are good, they have what? A God that created them. And evils, they have what? A God that created them. So the Qadariyya and Nufat, those who say Allah did not create things, Allah did not create the actions of human beings, that is the human being that created their acts by themselves. It is human beings that created their act by themselves. So Allah only created human beings, but their actions were created by themselves. Their actions are created by themselves. Allah created them. So with this, it means they believe that there are two gods. They have the gods who created mankind and other things, who is Allah to them. And the God that created the actions of human beings themselves, which is human beings themselves. So they believe that anything that I'm doing, I create it, whether good or bad. So I'm the creator. To them, the same human being is the creator of his actions, good or bad. It's not Allah that created the actions of human beings. Though it is Allah that created human being himself, but his actions are created by him. So there are two creators. There are two creators according to them. Just like the Magians who believe there is a creator of good deeds or good things, and there is creator of evil things. So they believe that the creator of good things is God of light. The creator of evil things is the God of darkness. So this is what the Majus, this is what they established. This is their belief. So they are fire worshippers. So the Qadariyya and Nufat, those who negate Qadar, when we say those who negate Qadar, we are referring to the later generation now, not the ones that have gone into extinction. So the later one who believe that human being created the actions by themselves and Allah did not will it. Now if you go back to the Quran, Allah says, Wallahu khalaqakum. Allah created you, وَمَا تَعْمَلُونَ, and your actions. Allah created you and your actions. So whatever you do, whether good or bad, is a creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever you do, good or bad, is a creation of Allah. You are a creation of Allah. Your actions are also creations of Allah. So this is what the verse establishes. So likewise Allah says, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. You cannot will something except Allah, except if Allah wills it. So if Allah does not will something, you cannot will it. Your will not come to pass if it's not in line with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why at times we want to do something. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not willed that thing, it will not come to pass. We will not be able to do it. So our own will must agree with the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as it is clear from that verse, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. So the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, they believe in the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the general or universal will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah believe in this. Likewise, they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Khaliqu Af'al al-Ibad, is the creator of the actions of human beings. So based on what the evidence is. So, and this is against the position of Al-Qadariyatu al-Nufat. Al-Qadariyatu al-Nufat. We say the Qadariyatu al-Nufat are people who deny Qadar. But we have those who are gulat among them, and those who are not, that is those who have gone overboard, the extremists among them, and those who are not as extreme as the other. So the extremists among them are those who negate the knowledge of Allah, that Allah has no knowledge of anything before it happens. Likewise, Allah did not have anything written in any preserved tablet. So in Allah al-Mahfuz. So these are the extremists among the deniers of Al-Qadr. But the later ones, they restricted to denying the will of Allah, the universal will of Allah, and the creation of the actions of human beings. So they limited it to that. And as you said, you cannot be Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah except that you believe in the four stages of Qadr. Except that you believe in the four stages of Qadr, you must believe in the eternal knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of things. Likewise, you must believe that things were written down in the preserved tablet, Allah al-Mahfuz. Then you should believe in the universal will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You should believe in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything, created all the actions of human beings. So when you believe in these four stages, you believe in what? In Qadr. You believe in Qadr. So one who is a Qadari, a Nafi. Al-Qadari, al-Nafi, the one who negates Qadari, Qadr, is not Ahlul Sunnah. A person can never be Ahlul Sunnah if he negates any stage of the stages of Qadr, he cannot be a Sunni. Even if he passes in other aspects, if he passes in other aspects of what? Of the creed. As long as he fails in this aspect of Qadr, say he won't be what? He won't be a Sunni. He will be what? A Qadari. A Qadari. A Qadari is the one who negates any of what the stages of Qadr, or maybe negate all the stages of Qadr. So Al-Qadariyatu al-Nufat. Now at times when they use the word Al-Qadariya, when they use the word Al-Qadariya, they now add something, maybe Al-Qadariyatu al-Mujbiratu. Al-Qadariyatu al-Mujbiratu. We have talked about Al-Qadariyatu al-Nufat. Now they talk about Al-Qadariyatu al-Mujbiratu, or they say Al-Musbitatu. Nam al-Musbita, the opposite of al-Nafiya, the teen or al-Nufat, those who establish Qadr. But they are Qadari. They have problem in Qadr, but their own problem is that they go overboard in the establishment of Qadr. So and that's why they call them al-qadariyatu al-musbita, from asbata yusbitu al-qadariyatu al-musbita. Or they call them al-qadariyatu al-mujbira. Why did they call them mujbira? Because they believe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala force human beings to do what they are doing. Allah forces human beings to do whatever they are doing. So they said what? They are qadariya. That is, they have problem with qadar in the aspect of what? Saying that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forces human beings to do what they are doing. So it depends. If you say musbita, that is, they establish qadar, but they go overboard in the establishment of qadar. If you say mujbira, that is, they believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forces human beings to do what they are doing. All that they are doing, whether good or bad, whatever a human being does, al-qadar al-mujbiri believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forces him to be doing what he's doing. So when we hear al-qadariyatu al-musbita, al-qadariyatu al-mujbira, they are saying the same thing. That is the term is referring to the same sect. Or at times they don't use the word al-jabriya, instead of saying al-qadariyatu al-mujbira or al-qadariyatu al-musbita, they just call them al-jabriya straight away. That is, those who believe Allah forces human beings to be doing what they are doing. So they believe in qadar, but they go overboard. They go overboard. How? How do they go overboard? They go overboard in that they believe that what they are doing, that is in qadar. Qadar has superseded al-amru wal-nahi. Al-amru wal-nahi. That is the do's and don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qadar has what superseded this. So what matters to them is what is qadar. So they use qadar as excuse for anything they are doing, whether good or bad. So you see somebody not praying, for instance, somebody not paying zakah, somebody not fasting the month of Ramadan, somebody committing shirk, they will say what? They are compelled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do this that they are doing. So they are called what? Al-Jabriyyah. Al-Jabriya. So we have Al-Qadariyatu Al-Nufa or Al-Nafiya, and we have Al-Qadariyatu Al-Muthbitatu, or if you like, you call them Al-Mujbiratu, or simply call them Al-Jabriya. So these people, they go astray with respect to the watch, to Qadar, with respect to Qadar. The Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, when it comes to Qadar, they believe in those four stages. At the same time, they believe in the do's and don'ts of Allah. They don't use that belief in Qadar to rubbish the do's and don'ts of Allah. They know that if they do not pray, for instance, they will be punished for that. And if they pray, they will be rewarded for that. If they steal, they will be punished by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they know this. They will not use qadar, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has known something from eternity, had written them down, Allah will, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create. They will not use all these four stages to rubbish the command and the prohibitions of Allah. They will respect the commands and the prohibitions of Allah. The do's and don'ts of Allah, they will respect. They will respect. But the Jabriya, some of them would say that, okay, Allah has forced us to be doing what you are doing. Or any person that is doing something that is evil, Allah has forced him to be doing. But he has the right to force people to do that. Is not being unjust to them, because they are his creation. they are his creation. So, and he can relate with his creation the way he likes. So he has not wronged them. So part of the Jabriya, they will think this way. Huh? Why some will say, if he is the one that has forced people to be doing this, those who are stealing or committing shirk, those who are fornicating, committing adultery and things like that, if he is the one that has forced them to be doing that, why is he going to punish them? So that is injustice. So they say that is what injustice. The other ones who say it is injustice, they say he can deal with his creation. He can deal with his kingdom the way he likes. So he is the owner of everything. So if he likes, he punishes some people. If he likes, he rewards some people. No injustice. But the other one among them will say, well, there is injustice. There is injustice. So they go overboard in establishing qadar, some of them to the extent of what, of trivializing the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as unjust. Why some were to abide by the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they see that what Allah has imposed on them, whatever they are doing. So this they are called what? Al-Jabriya Al-Mutawassita. So the moderate Jabriya, those who believe that if Allah punishes them, so they are what? His creature. They are his creature. So he's not doing them any wrong. Huh? Why those who believe that what? He doesn't have the right to do that is injustice. Is injustice. So these scholars will not talk about the Qadariya. They may just say, okay, we have what? Al-Qadariya, Al-Mushrikiya, and Al-Qadariya, Al-Ibrisiya. Apart from what I've said concerning what, maybe calling them Jabriya. Al-Jabriya, Al-Qadariya, Al-Mushrikiya. What does this mean? From Mushrik, the word Mushrik. Because if you go back to the Quran, the Mushrikun of Makkah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَقُولُ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ مَا أَشْرَكْنَا وَلَا أَبَاؤُنَا وَلَا حَرَّمْنَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ لَوْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ. If Allah had willed, مَا أَشْرَكْنَا, we'll not be doing shirk. Which means, for us to be mushrikun, we are idol worshippers, for us to be worshipping idols, it is the will of Allah. Yes, the will of Allah, but the universal will of Allah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يرضى لعباد الكفر. Allah does not love kufr. So Allah is going to punish you for what? For committing kufr. Because he doesn't love it. But Allah will it that it happens. There will be good, there will be evil. So that those who are good will know the reward for being good, and those who are evil will also know the punishment for evil. So, but these people, they said that if Allah be, we wouldn't have watched, we wouldn't have been mushrikun. So, nor would have our father. Huh? And who will say anything that we declare to be haram? Yes, Allah love that we do it that way. So this is the way of the mushrikun of Makkah. So this is similar to somebody that will tell you, forget about all these things. Huh? This that I'm doing is Allah that has willed it that way. Huh? So then some will say, if you have willed it that way, why must he not punish? Why must he not punish us? Huh? That will be injustice. So this makes that person Qadariya, Qadari Iblisi. Why? It is the belief that Shaitan that we go against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will say what, this is Qadar and this is the law. There is contradiction between what? Qadar and what? So when you force somebody to be doing something, then you not pass a law that thing that is doing, you not love it. You say what? A contradiction. help it play. That is, they say you force somebody to be doing something, and at the same time, you are saying what you are forcing to do, you do not love it. So this is Iblis. This is a belief. So the Qadariya, Mushrikiya, Qadariya, Iblisiya, so they are what? Under the Qadariya, Jabriya, or Al-Qadariya to Al-Muthbita. Those who establish Qadar, but they will go overboard, either using it at times towards to knock the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the Qadariya to Nafiya, they knock Qadar, but they believe in the do's and don'ts of Allah. I don't know if it's clear. The Qadariya Nafiya, the Al-Qadariya to Nufat, they are against Qadar. They don't believe in Qadar, but they believe in what? In the do's and don'ts of Allah. They wanted to defend the do's and don'ts of Allah. That is why they knock Qadar. Now Allah asks us to pray. Allah asks us to what? To fast, to do this, to do that. He asks us to go away from this. They stand by those things. Now, somebody is not saying, I'm not doing what Allah has commanded and is Qadar of Allah. So those people, they get angry. Now, why must we be using Qadar of Allah to oppose the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Why must we be using Qadar to oppose the law of Allah? There is no Qadar. There is no Qadar. They want to tackle those who are using Qadar to run away from the do's and don'ts of Allah. Somebody is not praying, you approach somebody, no, are you not praying? You say it's Qadar of Allah. Somebody is fornicating, is committing adultery, why are you doing this? Say it's Qadar of Allah. Then you say, what type of Qadar is that? That is nonsense. There is only like Qadar. You have to do what Allah has commanded, and you have to be away from what He has forbidden. If you don't do what He has commanded, you'll be punished. If you don't be away from what He has prohibited, you'll be punished. Don't come up with any Qadar. So they negate Qadar, they deny Qadar. That is, Allah did not will this, nor did He create it. So they negated Qadar, or they deny Qadar in defense of the do's and don'ts of Allah. So that's why scholars say it is the love for the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that push the Qadariya Nufat to where they found themselves. They want to defend the laws they find in the Quran and the Sunnah, so they were pushed towards to negating Qadar. Why those who go overboard in establishing Qadar, they go overboard in establishing Qadar at the expense of the do's and don'ts of Allah. They want to run away from the do's and don'ts of Allah, then they watch, they hold on to Qadar. So why are you doing this? That Allah has prohibited, it is Qadar. Why are you not doing that Allah has commanded? It is Qadar. So they go overboard in the defense of Qadar in order to watch, to run away from the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So scholars say, which one is worse? So undoubtedly, Al-Qadariyatu Al-Mujbira, those who hold on to Qadar, running away from the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are worse than those who hold on to the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they negate Qadar. They want to defend the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so eventually they land in what? In going against Qadar. So these people, they want to run away from the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they use Qadar as what? As an excuse. So among them that are those who now went to the essence of saying, even Allah is contradicting Himself. Why must He say what? You should do this. When He is the one that has imposed on you not to do it, He's the one that has forced you not to do it. So, and that is a belief. That is a belief. That is a thinking of Iblis. Just like when He said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that why should He ask Him to prostrate for Adam alayhi salatu wasalam when He created him from fire, and He created Adam from clay, using his intellect to say, well, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Is 40. So believe in Qadar, using it to rubbish the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, hiding under what? Contradiction. That is the belief. So any person that is thinking that way, they say, is what? Is a Qadari Iblisi. But the one who think like the Kuffar of Makkah, those who are trying to justify whatever they are doing, whether good or bad, so they will only say, watch, this is the Qadar of Allah. This is the Qadar of Allah. So a preacher comes to them telling them not to do this. Believe it, it's Qadar of Allah. What you are doing is Qadar of Allah. That is whether good or bad, we are what? We are obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he says one commits zina, who commits zina, he says what? He's obedient. He's the one that has forced us to do that. When he says what? Observe salah and will not observe, he says what? He's obedient. He's the one that has forced us. So we are just like a kind of feather, like the feather of a bird that is in place of wings. Definitely the wind will carry the feather away. Or we are just like somebody that has been tied, tied hand and watch and legs, and that person is thrown into a big sea. And the person that has thrown into that big sea says what? Iyaka, thumma iyaka antabtalla bilma. Iyaka, iyaka antabtalla bilma. That is, do not get wet with the water. Somebody is tied, is tied hand and leg, and the person is thrown into a big sea. And the person who has thrown him, tied him, thrown into that big sea is saying what? Do not get wet. So the said, undoubtedly he's going to get wet. So they say this is the picture of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has tied us, that he is the one that has forced us to do what we are doing. Then he's not coming with law, telling us not to do what? Telling us to do the opposite of what he has commanded us, or what he has forced on us. So the word Qadar, so when it is used, the word Qadariya, when it is used, so there are various attachments to it. So one has to pay attention to know what it meant, what is Qadariya, and who are the Qadariya al-Mufat or al-Nafiya, who are the Qadariya al-Muthbita or Mujbira, or you call them simply al-Jabriya. Then we talk about what? Al Qadariya al-Mushrikiya, al-Qadariya al-Iblisiya. So we have to believe in the Maratib al-Qadar, the stages of Qadar. If one does not believe in the stages of Qadar, that person is not a Sunni. It's not a Sunni. The person will be a Qadari, will be a Qadari. That is a Qadari that is negating Qadar, that is denying Qadar. And if one believes in Qadar and one goes overboard in the belief in Qadar, that person will be a Jabri. Will be a Jabri. It may now be a Jabri Mutawassit. A Jabri Mutawassit is the one that is what is in between. That is, believe that you are creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has forced us to be doing what you are doing. Whether good or bad, everything that you are doing, they believe Allah has forced us. But he has the right to force us to do all this because we are what? His creature. So he has not wronged us. So it's Jabri wa Mutawassit. But the one that goes overboard, we won't question, why is this? Why this? Why this? This is what contradiction. Just the way he believes a deity. So the Shaykh Ali Rahmatullah said part of the things that are sunnah and that are lazima, that are necessary. Allati man taraka minha khaslatan lam yaqbalha, that whoever leaves a khasla there, that is a characteristic or a feature of it, lam yaqbalha, and does not accept it, wa yumin biha, and believe in it, lam yakun min ahliha, is not one of the people of sunnah. It's not one of the people of Sunnah. And that's why the deviant sects. The deviant sects. You know, we say what? Deviant sects. So they have different things where they went or they go astray. So where this one goes astray, this one may not go astray yet. That this one goes astray, for instance, in the issue of Qadar. This one may not go astray in the issue of Qadar. The other one may not go astray in the issue of Qadar. But in another matter, both of them are what? Are deviant. Because they moved away from the path of Sunnah. So for you to be Ahlu Sunnah, those attributes must be what? Must be present and what? Complete in you. Because if you get it wrong in one of the foundations, in one of the principles, you are going to find yourself in the midst of one of the deviant sects. In the midst of one of the deviant sects. So and that's why you should not go against the Qadar. Don't negate anything of Qadar, any stage of the Qadar, don't negate. Don't negate the eternal knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't say Allah does not have knowledge of things before they happen. No. You must believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the knowledge of things before they happen. Anything that happens, before it happens, Allah has what knowledge of that thing. In fact, the knowledge is what? Is from eternity. Then that thing is was written down. As the Prophet said, in Allah kataba ma qadir al khalaik, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written the qadar of the creatures. By what? He said, قبل خلق السماوات والأرض بخمسين ألف سنة. Before the creation of the heavens and the earth, 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and earth, Allah had written what? The destinies of all the creations. So then when Allah wills, that thing will happen. We say the will may be something that is good or something that is not, that is, it may be with respect to something that is good or something that is not good. But nothing can happen without the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verse is clear. وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Then, the creation. Huh? The creation. The creation here means what? The happening of that thing. Huh? The happening of that thing. So these are the maratib al-qadr. Any disbelief or negation in any of these stages may make one find oneself in the midst of al-qadariyatu al-nufat, and any exaggeration or over going overboard with respect to what? Establishing qadr to the extent of what? Now trivializing the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make one find oneself in the midst of the Jabriya. Or we say what? Qadariya Musbita or Qadariya Mujbira. So this is important. This is important. Don't hide under qadr to what? To rubbish the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And do not over defend the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the extent of what? Rubbishing qadr. Both of them are what? Extremism. Defending the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the extent of negating qadr is extremism. Establishing qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the extent of what? Negating the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is what? Extremism. So the Ahlul Sunnah wa Jama'ah, they establish the laws. They promote the law, they abide by the laws. At the same time, they believe in the Qadr. They believe in the Qadr. Meaning, the eternal knowledge of Allah of things, things were written down 50,000 years before the creation of heavens and earth. And if Allah wills things, it will come to pass. And the coming to pass of that thing is what is the creation. So with this, the maratib al-qadr al-arba' awaj are complete. So don't be among the qadariya النفاس. And don't be among the Qadariya al-Muthbita or al-Mujbira. Oh, you call them al-Jaburiya. And don't be among al-Mushrikiya. Don't be among al-Iblisiya. Don't be among al-Iblisiya. So, and don't be among al-Majusiya. The Qadariya al-Nufat are the Majusiya. These are people who believe that what you created your action yourself. So don't say it's a Qadar of Allah. Somebody who steals, or somebody who takes intoxicants, somebody who commits zina and things like that. All these are prohibitions. They are prohibitions. Don't tell me it is Qadar. You created it, or you created them yourself. This is what they will tell you. Huh? But the Ahlus Sunnah Jama'ah will say what? No, Allah created those actions. Though you did them, but Allah created those actions. Wallahu khalaqakum wa ma ta'amalun. And you will be held responsible for those actions. Huh? Because Allah gives you the free will to do and not to watch and not to do. So when you now violate the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't hide under Qadar, because Allah gives you the free will to do and watch and not to do. So this is somehow complex, but it is important that you understand it. Not understanding this has led some people to become what? Qadariya and Nufat. And has led some people to become Al-Qadariya to Al-Mujbira, or Qadariya Al-Muthbita. Now, part of the thing that happened, it was said during the time of Al-Khalifa, Al-Rashid Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu, somebody stole, and the person was brought to Umar, and what he had there stolen was enough to have his hand was chopped off, to cut his hand. So then the third man said, O Amir al-Mu'minin, it is the Qadar of Allah, that is, it is the Qadar of Allah that has made me steal. Umar radiallahu anhu said, yes, it is with the Qadar of Allah that you are also cutting your hand. If you cut your hand, it is with the Qadar of Allah, just as you are stolen with the Qadar of Allah. So you are also cutting your hand with the Qadar of Allah. That is, don't use the Qadar of Allah to justify the evil that you have done. Huh? Yes, it is Qadar of Allah. Nobody is denying it. But Allah gave you what? The free will. He asked you to do this, don't do this. So for you to now use the Qadar of Allah as evidence to justify your disobedience, so this won't go. So Umar radiallahu anhu cut off his hand with the Qadar of Allah, because it has been in the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Umar watch who cut the hand of Dama. But he also cut it with what? With the Sharia of Allah, because the ruling is that whoever steals and what he has stolen is up to watch the Nisab. And all things being equal, the hand of the person will be chopped. So Umar, he used the Qadar of Allah, he finds himself in the Qadar of Allah. At the same time, he also carries out the watch, the Qadar, the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the Sunni stance. This is the Sunni stance. So Umar did not tell the man that, what Qadar are you saying? You are talking rubbish. He didn't tell him that, because it is the Qadar of Allah, really. But using it as an excuse to justify one's evil. So this is what the Sharia will not take from such a person. So a Qadari Jabri who wants to use that, or a Jabri who wants to use Qadar as an evidence to evade the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why a Qadari Nafi who wants to tackle him by rubbishing the Qadar? No, that is also what that is going over. But don't rubbish Qadar. The Qadar of Allah exists. Those four stages, they exist. But the one who does evil, the person will be dealt with. The person is going to meet the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was also said that one of the rulers, somebody was brought to him, a farrar. Farrar is somebody that snatches something from people. So when he was brought to him, two people were seated before the judge. So one of them was a Qadari, Mujbiri, so to say, Mujbir. That is somebody who does not, who use Qadar to watch, to push away the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why the other one is the one who doesn't believe in what? In Qadar. So both of them were seated before the judge. So the judge asked for what? Their opinion about the man that stole and was brought to him. What should he do to him? He snatched something from people. Then one said what? They should give him 15 lashes. 15 lashes. The one who does not, the one who did not believe in what? The one who overbelieved in Qadar said it should be given 15 lashes. The one who did not believe in Qadar, but believe in text, believe in what? In the laws, now wanted to ridicule him. He said, no, he should be given 30 lashes. This man that was Torrar, I forgot to mention that, the man was cross-eyed. Cross-eyed. Somebody that, Yoruba people say, Uju Eda, Abinka, something like that. So, the one who didn't believe in what? In Qadar, said he should be given 30 lashes. He said, 15 lashes for his cross-eyedness, for having what for being cross-eyed. So he should be given 15 lashes for that. Then another 15 lashes, the remaining 15 lashes for stealing, for snatching something from somebody. So the one who overbelieved in Qadar said, why is he going to be given 15 lashes for being cross-eyed? So is it not because of the Qadar of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The same thing happens to the other one too. So if you believe that it can be given 15 lashes for stealing, then it can also be given 15 lashes for what? For being cross-eyed, because both of them are what? He is forced, both things are imposed on him. Stealing was imposed on him, according to you. Likewise, being cross-eyed is also imposed on him. So he couldn't say anything again. So the point here is that the fact that you believe in Qadar does not mean that we shouldn't do things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made compulsory, and we shouldn't avoid things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited. So Qadar does not mean this. What Qadar means is that you believe in the eternal knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of things, and everything was written down, and when Allah wills that something happens, there is nothing that can stop it, and we see the creation of that thing, we see that thing happen. We see it happen. Once it happens, it means it has been created. So these are the maratib al-Qadar. So the Shaykh alayhi rahmatullah said al-Imanu bil-Qadar khayrihi wa sharri. And you can see that in the hadith, and two min of the Qadar khayri wa sharri, for you to believe in Qadar is good and is what is evil. Wa tasdiq bil-Ahadithi fi والإيمان بها. The ahadith on the issue of Qadr, we have to believe in them. لا يقال لما. We shouldn't say why. ولا كيف. We shouldn't say how. إنما هو التصديق والإيمان بها. So we have to watch. We have to accept and believe in them. ومن لم يعرف تفسير الحديث وَيَبْلِغُ عَقْلُهُ فَقَدْ كُفِيَ ذَلِكَ. So whoever does not understand a hadith on something like that, وَيَبْلِغُ عَقْلُهُ, and maybe he cannot comprehend it, فَقَدْ كُفِيَ ذَلِكَ. So that has been taken care of. The fact that I do not understand a verse of the Quran, for instance, or a hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, does not mean everybody does not understand it. So it is me that should accuse my own intellect. Not that I will say that because I cannot understand it. Everybody does not understand it. As we are seated here now, what most of us can read easily, some of our young ones cannot read them easily. What we can understand, we can comprehend easily. So some of them may not be able to comprehend some of these things. So for them to now say that because they could not comprehend those things, it means those things are what are not existing. So that would be what? That would be nonsense. That would be nonsense. So in the Sharia, when you do not understand a verse of the Quran, you as a person do not understand a verse of the Quran, you cannot comprehend it. Just say what? You believe in it, you submit. Don't say because you don't understand, everybody does not understand it. No. You ask those who know. You ask those who know. But the Quran is what? Is something that is known. Is known. But if you do not know, that doesn't mean everybody does not know. You should know your what? Your level. So a hadith comes, you can't understand the hadith. Don't say the hadith is dhaif. Why? Because you cannot understand the hadith, or because the hadith goes against your own intellect. So when we use the intellect of everybody as a yardstick to take or reject the Sharia, the Sharia becomes what? A plating. A plating. So this is what the Sheikh is trying to tell us here, that whoever does not understand the tafsir of the hadith, and his intellect cannot comprehend it. Fakat kufi adalik. Huh? That is somebody has sufficed him in that. That is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sufficed him. There are people who can comprehend, there are people who know. You should go and meet those people. Fas'alu ala zikri kuntu la ta'alamun. You ask people of knowledge when you do not. No. وَأُحْكِمَ لَهُ فَعَلَيْهِ الْإِيمَانُ بِهِ. So this has been what? Perfected for him. فَعَلَيْهِ الْإِيمَانُ بِهِ وَالتَّسْلِيمُ. He should believe and succumb. He should submit. مِثْلُ حَدِيثِ الصَّادِقِ الْمَصْدُوقِ. Then the author wants to come up with a hadith that will be taken inshallah another time. سُبْحَانَكَ لَهُ بِحَمْدِكِ أَشْهَدَ أَنَّا إِلَىٰ إِلَّا أَنْتْ أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. That is the question is, a lady is menstruating. Now, can she perform ablution, or is it recommended for her to perform ablution before going to bed at night? There is no text for that she should go to, should perform ablution before going to bed. But the fact that somebody is not pure, if the person wants to do light purification, like performing ablution for instance, so we cannot be harsh on such a person. Just as when you have janaba, for instance, and you want to go to bed, what is ideal is for you to take your ghusl of janaba. But if you are somehow tired, you can take what? You can perform ablution. So it's like the ablution is going to lighten it, so to say. So what? The best is for you to perform ghusl. But if you perform ablution, it's still okay. It's still okay. It was said that some of the companions, whenever they had janaba and they wanted to enter the masjid, for instance, they would perform ablution to sleep in the masjid while they had janaba. So If we extend this to that of a lady that is menstruating and she wants to go to bed, so she now wants to perform ablution, so therefore the fact that there is no clear text for that, if we just look at it from the angle of trying to lighten the hadath, so this will be what permissible, wallahu a'lam. Salatu Taraweeh. No, it's not clear. Okay. Now the question is, we know that in Salatu Taraweeh, when we observe two rakah, we make taslim. Then we rise to bring another two rakah, we make taslim. So the first two rakah that we observe, after which we make taslim, the takbiratu al-ihram here, does it suffice for the other two rakah that you are going to observe, or we say every two rakah has their own takbiratu al-ihram? Yes, every two rakah has their own, has its own takbiratu al-ihram. So when you say takbiratul ihram and you observe two rakah and you make the sleep, that one has come to an end. So another two rakah with takbiratul ihram you give. So Allahu a'lam. Now, with protection. Now, a lady that is menstruating, can she perform ablution with the intention of protection? There is no text for that. So what she can do is for her to do the adkar. She can do adkar of protection. Then according to the jumhur of the scholars, they will say she should avoid reciting the Quran because she is not pure. She should avoid reciting the Quran according to the majority of the scholars. But Allahu A'lam, if she recites the Quran even when she's not pure, so there is no harm. But touching the Quran while she's not pure, this one is what is not okay. Because the companions of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, would not like to touch the Quran whenever you are not in state of purity. So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, as Imam Malik reported in Al-Muwatta, was reciting the Quran one day and his son Mus'ab was holding the Quran for him. So the father felt that the child scratched his body, so to say. Then he asked him, لَعَلَّكَ مَسِسْتَ وَمَسَسْتَ ذَكَرَكَ. It's like when your body was itching, you touched your watch, your private part. And the son said, yes. He said, كُمْ فَتَوَضَّ. Get up, go and renew your ablution. Go and renew your ablution. Likewise, the hadith that says, لَا يَمَسُ الْقُرْآنَ إِلَّا طَاهِرٌ. No one should touch the Quran except the one that is pure. So according to the way they opinion, this hadith is what is authentic. So touching the Quran, either by junub or a ahij, this is not acceptable. But reciting the Quran by a ahij, this, according to the way their opinion, is permissible. If she doesn't touch it or she will recite it, maybe from the phone, for instance, this is permissible. So as for the one who has a janaba, it is better avoided because he has a way of what of correcting that by taking the ghusl of janaba, unlike the ahij that doesn't have what a way out until she comes what pure. For the junub, can just take look for a way of taking the ghusl of janaba. So it is not encouraged that the junub recite the Quran. Though a hadith on that are not authentic, except that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Karitu an azkur Allah ila al-tahar," I detest to mention the name of Allah. Why not in state of purity? Allahu a'lam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.